So, where are we?
Well, I'd like to be sure if I understand this. Are you saying that whenever a person called in this time to KPFA and said, I'd like to pledge through EFT, that you said if you've not pledged before and you want to vote, then you need to make sure that your first payment is at least $25?
We told everybody on the air at KPFA repeatedly mm-hmm. that in order to vote, they needed to get their pledge paid. The deadline was the 21st of November.
Mm-hmm. And they understood that by doing an EFT, you didn't fulfill that.
Yeah.
That wasn't technically.
That's
well,
right.
unless your EFT you might have an EFT contribution that did fulfill that.
If it was $25, if you got $25 in your first EFT, you'd have gotten it in by the 21st of November, but it was made very clear, Teresa.
I want to make sure that no other stations had this problem, because I thought it was actually in our station's instance a little bit.
Didn't know you went away.
I thought it was pretty easy in the heat of pledge drive to say pledge, pledge through EFT, and you get a chance to vote, and you will vote, and forget that, that they might not actually satisfy this literally.
Well, Teresa, I haven't heard of any other instance where that occurred.
Well, can we ask people who are on the call from the other signal areas if they know if this is an issue in New York and Washington or in L.A.?
What an issue? I'm sorry.
The issue is whether or not Dave stays on the phone call. No, the issue was whether or not people who made their pledge via electronic fund transfer, EFT, and if they did not set it up in such a way so that their first $25 of those payments was in by November 21st, then they would have not had met that $25 minimum requirement. It was clear to people who were making EFT payments that at least $25 had to be in by November 21st.
Well, it's only BAI. Frankly, I'm not sure we're pushing EFT that much. There's been some discussion now that we're in this retrenchment thing where people are talking about pushing it more. But I don't think they've been pushing it that much. I don't think that there's been that many of them. But that's just a feeling I have. I haven't talked to anybody about it. And it has not been an issue anybody has even discussed.
Mm-hmm. In Southern California, it is an issue. We have a lot of EFT people. And frankly, it's my position that once a person initiates the EFT arrangement with the bank and with the station, that so long as the accrued amount ends up being $25 at some point during the period, I think once they initiate that, they should be deemed a member. So otherwise, they're going to be counting dollars as they come in, what day they came in.
Can I ask you a question about that, Dave?
Yeah.
Next year when we hold the election, we'll be looking back at the same contribution that we're looking forward to now. The bylaws say that if you've contributed $25 in the previous 12 months, you get to vote. So next year, the people that we extended this courtesy to for this $25 contribution get to vote this year and next year for the same money. Is that your position?
No, that it be deemed donated the day the electronic funds transfer arrangement is executed, is initiated, that donation. So if I do it on January 1st, 2004, then that's the date that I have paid my $25 or what have you.
Terry, I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay.
I hope that's a simple way of doing it.
Terry?
The one difficulty with that is some people are sustainers that go on and on. Someone might initiate it on one date and never have to do it again. And so the point is that they get only 1 year of vote, even if the money's coming in year after year after year after year. So it's a problem with having – the bylaws use the phrase a qualifying act, meaning giving the $25. And if you date it at the point that the person starts the EFT process, then they would lose their membership after 1 year. And that's clearly not anybody's done. So it's a logistical challenge. I'm not saying that it can't be done, but it's a logistical challenge figure out how to keep the records.
I just want to clarify something. They would lose their membership because they don't have to say again?
If he's saying the Qualifying Act is setting up the system rather than having $25 transferred into the station bank account.
Right.
Well, this is Janice. I hope we've got to get this clarified because this is something that we're going to the air with, that we're really going to push sustaining memberships. It's something that people are very excited about trying to because we're talking about not just constantly going to people begging during the drive. So we want to push sustaining memberships.
Right. Well, I want to come back in and say that we're actually taking pledges of gifts from people. A pledge or a gift is not an enforceable contract. We can't, if somebody says, well, I'm canceling my EFT because I didn't like what so-and-so said on the air the other day and I'm pissed, we can't send a collection agency after them for the money. That's not the way charities, and we're a charitable organization, are authorized to operate. So it's usual and customary to count a gift when you have the money in the bank, because we just can't go after people and say, you promised, now we want the money, or we're going to come and take your washing machine back. If we can't take back the voting rights we granted if somebody's already voted. The membership is very clearly defined as having made the contribution in the previous 12 months, $25. It's so simple and clear, and I think easily explained to people, that I think we should just do that and not create all kinds of confusion and complexity about looking forward and looking back and when the initiating act was. What we can do, it's very clear in our MEMSIS system now, is look and see how much money we got from people over the previous 12 months. And it's simple and clean and effective, and I think the way to every other organization of our type with a rolling membership does these things.
Well, this is Teresa.
Yeah.
Something. It's very difficult for me to explain. Robin Lewis, who's our election supervisor, understands this forwards and backwards and can articulate it so much better than I have. And I've sent the email that she gave me to you, and maybe I should read it, but it just seems to me that we're in some way acting in bad faith if we've taken a pledge for someone for $120. And because of the way it spread out, would disqualify them from voting. You know, I understand about how you were sure to make that distinction during your pledge drive every time, but frankly, I didn't make the connection. So we didn't announce it that way, and I feel like, I don't want to use the term Indian giver, which is actually a criticism of a Caucasian race, not the Native Americans. But it seems like what we're doing is we promise them something which we're pulling back, and which creates ill will. And I'm wondering if there's some way we can fix this. We do have a resolution that maybe would fix the problem for those stations that...
Can you read it?
It is the sense of the governance ceiling. The committee recommends that the interim Pacifica National Board adopt the same or substantially same policy consistent with Article 3, Section 2 of the new bylaws to apply to EFT.
And what is that?
Can you repeat what that is? Most of us have not memorized the bylaws.
You have to read what they're saying. It has to be consistent with the above paragraph.
Right. Can you read that?
Do
you have it in front of you?
Just a minute. Article 3.
Leslie?
Yes.
The bylaws are not the point. The point is the text on the resolution above that explains what they want to do.
Okay, let me start it again then. It is the sense of the Governance Committee and the Local Advisory Board of KPFT that as regards the eligibility of KPFT members who participate in the EFT fund transfer and or various periodic credit card payment programs that such participating members shall not be disenfranchised from, comma, not denied participation in, comma, various specific activities, including without limitation, those involving elections, as either a candidate or as a voter, solely on the basis of the times of such periodic forms of payment, period. Further, the committee recommends that the Interim Pacifica National Board adopt the same or substantially the same policy consistent with Article 3, comma, Section 2 of the new bylaws.
I'll second that.
Mary, sweet mother of Jesus.
So
is that a motion?
Yeah, I think that was put forth by Teresa as a motion.
Okay.
Right, and George seconded
it. I would broaden it to all the stations, not just KPFT.
Does everybody understand what
no,
she was
I
saying?
No, I have no idea what she just said.
Oh, because I sure didn't.
I do.
I know what she said.
Okay, AC, can you say what she said?
Yes, I understand what she said.
Okay,
just that we would be consistent with the bylaw and that section of the bylaw. That people would be regarded as members. And
yep,
I think what David Furtick had said earlier sort of coincide with that, that we should just simply regard them as members.
Right.
And
well,
not disenfranchise them because of the fact.
Article 3, Section 2 has to do with terms of listener-sponsor membership.
Mm-hmm. You want to read it?
A listener-sponsor membership term shall expire 12 months from that date on which said member A contributed a minimum $25 to any foundation radio station or such minimum amount as the board of directors may from time to time decide, or B volunteered a minimum of 3 hours of service to any foundation radio station. A staff membership shall expire on that day, A, on that date on which he, she, or is no longer a member of a radio station, unpaid staff organization, or bargaining unit, or if the radio station has no such organization, comma, then on that date on which he or she failed to volunteer a minimum of 30 hours in the preceding three-month period, or B...
Girl, you lost me about
yeah,
2 minutes
you
ago.
You went from the listener-sponsor membership into the staff membership. The staff membership's not relevant here.
Leslie?
Yes.
Well, on the second paragraph, it says
Teresa,
a membership
Teresa,
term...
Teresa, can I just interrupt for a second? What I'm understanding the motion... If I could try and rephrase this a little bit, the motion is that we should accept as members into the foundation anybody who has obviously given at least $25, but also those people who have committed to an electronic fund transfer program before November 29th, the total amount of which will exceed $25, even though it may not have reached that point by the 21st.
Yes.
That's right, or credit card, and for all stations.
Yes.
It's actually simpler than that.
Okay, sorry.
The bylaws say that you have to have contributed $25 within the previous 12 months.
Yes.
We can define contribution is as having established an EFT for at least $25. Yes, we can define a contribution as having established the periodic payment.
Right.
Wait,
that's what David was saying.
Prior to the cutoff date. If we do that, then next year when we look back, we may be looking at the same $25, and that's my objection.
Well, that's what I don't understand.
Well, see, that doesn't make sense.
Why can't we just say that if the date it kicks in would be, unless somebody ends their program, the electronic funds transfer program, that the date it kicks in would be the marking date for each year. In other words, if somebody started their program on November 1st, then every November 1st, until they cancel their EFT program, would be the marking point for their membership.
Well, that's what it is.
Carol, let me ask you, Carol, is there a minimum that a person can give through EFT?
I have no idea.
Well,
it probably varies from bank to bank.
$5 per month.
I'm sorry?
At KPFT, the minimum is $5 per month. Below that, they won't set them up for people.
Okay. It probably means it depends on your bank as opposed to the station.
But, okay, but Carol, I think that obviously, if you're giving at least $5 a month, your $25 requirement would be satisfied within 5 months. So if you keep giving, then you, like you're talking about going forward and going backwards, which Dave Fertig didn't hear.
Right.
But you would be going forward. You
yes.
Would, I mean,
right. Well, what if I set up a credit card payment spaced out over time? I'm pledging $25 over five payments,
mm-hmm.
$5 payments.
Right.
I will have made the same $25 contribution the day I set it up as next year when you look back and see if I've contributed $25 within the year. That's the problem. That's the logistical problem.
But wait a minute.
I don't understand.
Leslie.
Yeah, Rob.
I would like to respond.
I'm sorry, Rob. Can we just let Rob jump in?
Yeah, I think we're not solving the problem. The only case in which this is going to be meaningful are cases in which the people that are pledging had not pledged before. And we don't know how many people fall into that category. So I really don't think we've defined the problem carefully here. I would like to suggest that one of the things that we might be able to do that would help is if we had a regular call with Terry in which Terry brings forward or the local election coordinators bring forward policy and problem issues like this in which we need to make a ruling, because I really think we ought to be encouraging everybody to pledge. I mean, we don't want to be taking actions that discourage people from
mm-hmm.
joining the station.
Sure.
But, and we just we do not know how many people fall into this category, so we're like trying to come up with a case in which we beat the system, and I don't think that this is informative. So I'd like to suggest that we, if necessary, we work with Terry on a weekly basis and have a call and make some of these decisions as we go along, rather than trying to solve questions like this when we're not even all dealing with the same information. Well,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Wait. I need to ask Terry something. Terry, when do you need this, or when do we, as a foundation, need an answer on this electronic fund transfer question?
First off, this is not primarily or exclusively an elections issue. It's an issue for the foundation because membership rights give all kinds of things, not just voting rights. And I don't feel it's my responsibility at all to decide how you guys should do it, to be clear about it. Secondly, I think you need to decide right away because the data entry people at each station have to know what they're doing, and the deadline's right upon us, and they're putting things into computers. And if they have to go through and change all the fields where they've been putting it in, you can't wait a week from now. You need to make a decision as quickly as possible.
Can we try to? I understand what Rob was trying to do here, but I think we do have to try and settle this. Can we try to clarify? Can someone make a motion?
I'm
sorry. I know, but the problem, to be very honest, Teresa, the problem was because not all of us had it in front of us. The way that particular motion was written is extremely hard to follow.
Okay, well,
so can
I'd like,
we have a
I'd
simplified
like stab at it.
Can we have a simplified motion? Yeah.
Okay.
Go on, Teresa.
Well, again, I want to go over two things. First of all, for Section 2, it has two paragraphs. It mentions term, and it says listener sponsor membership shall expire 12 months from the date on which said member A either contributed a minimum of 25 or such minimum amount as the Board of Directors may, from time to time, decide.
Can someone else
Teresa,
try to...
you're making this harder.
You're making no sense.
Can I do it? I don't want to make the motion because I'm going to vote against it.
Okay.
But can I suggest the wording for it so that people are clear?
Yes.
Is that the word contributed $25 be defined to be the date that the member initiated a time payment of $25 or more, a time payment method of $25 or more.
Right.
I will move that motion.
May I offer a clarification?
Yes.
Has made the initial payment of a series of time payments.
Well, you know what? When you
initiated is vague.
Well, initiated means you give it to the person on the phone. Because they then have to mail it to your bank, and the bank...
Well, yeah, a lot of paperwork.
The bank then sends it back, and yada, yada, yada. If we want somebody to qualify to vote by having initiated an EFT on November 21st, they're going to have to do the make the qualifying act of having called in and done it. Do you follow me?
Okay. So if I could try this, the motion, as I understand it, is that a person will qualify as a member if they have initiated a EFT or credit card or other deferred payment schedule, if they have initiated that before the cutoff date, in this instance of November 21st.
Right.
Okay, that's the motion.
So does that...
I'll accept that.
So does this resolution only applies to this concern for this election?
No.
No, it would be forever and ever.
Until and unless the board changes it.
Right.
Well, in this, okay, so can you read it again?
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have it, I didn't read it that
way. Actually, in order to relate to the bylaws, what we're doing is we're defining contribution to mean having initiated an EFT or other credit card time payment of $25 or more.
Okay, so a person shall qualify as a member as long as they have initiated.
Leslie, you're missing my point.
I'm sorry.
You're really missing my point.
Okay, I am
missing it. It's important. The bylaws say that you're a member if you have contributed $25 within the past 12 months.
Right.
So the issue is, what is a contribution?
Oh, I see.
A contribution will be cash in the bank or having
initiated
the EFT or other time payment of $25.
Okay. You're right. I was missing what you put.
Which will exceed $25.
Of $25 or more.
Or more. Right.
Are we ready to vote?
Everyone gets it, right?
No.
What part don't you get?
Well, I'd like you to read the resolution so when I vote on it, I know specifically what I'm voting on.
How many times are we going to read the resolution then? This is the third time.
It's basically, Teresa, it is saying what you wanted. It is putting it into the reference, so it's in the
Leslie?
Context.
All right, I'm going to read the resolution.
Okay. Thank
Resolve
you.
That the Pacifica Foundation Board of Directors defines a contribution to the foundation as having made a cash payment or having initiated an EFT or other time payment of $25 or more.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to read down the list.
I move that. Will you second it?
Yeah, it was already moved and seconded.
Well, do you want me to withdraw my original motion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I've
George
withdrawn
moved
it.
To second it.
I'll second.
Okay, David seconded. Okay, I'm going to read the list down. Pete?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Okay, you got it. Carol?
No.
Janice?
Yes.
Ray?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
AC?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Charles?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And myself, yes. So that's 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yeses and one no. Okay, so that carries. Can we move to the issue of where votes will be counted? I believe in Terry's memo to us dated November 11th.
I had one clarification I wanted to make before that.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we got to try and move this meeting a little quicker,
yeah,
though.
This is really...
I will make it very quick. When we met in September, the board voted that the manner in which waivers would be granted would be by self-certification. I've read a statement by Terry that says that individual will be asked to write a statement explaining how they indeed are absolutely unable to do so. I think that if we ask people to do it in such a fashion, what we'll be testing would be the writing skills. I feel like we're dealing with contrition rather than an individual who was able to tell us. There was an election in New York right now. All you asked to do is to answer a questionnaire. And you say yes or no, and it's sufficient. So what we might test might be somebody's ability to maybe lie better. I think that what we engage in is a process of good faith where individual would self-certify. And
Therefore, I'm asking that we knew that the position, the spirit and language of the motion, which was that people be specified and be done as simple a fashion as possible, and that excludes that the requirement for a statement to be written.
Terry, do you want to say anything? Or?
The policy he's referring to is a draft policy I wrote back in September. The notion was using the language in the bylaws for waivers that an individual must demonstrate a sincere interest in becoming a member, having not to do with whether there's a hardship. And the way to demonstrate that was the notion that they would have to initiate it by contacting the station and submit a letter explaining their circumstance. That was just a proposal that I put forward as a way of meeting the bylaws definition of demonstration of a sincere interest.
So
my notion was that checking a box was not an adequate demonstration.
Leslie, I'd like to speak on that.
Okay, go on.
If Ray is suggesting that all a person has to do is fill out that, yes, they want to be able to vote in the election without any explanation as to why they're expecting a waiver, then I'm thoroughly opposed to that. I think there should be some explanation to someone as to why you want a waiver. Otherwise, I don't understand the whole process. Then anybody can walk off the street, check, and get to vote. It just doesn't make sense.
Leslie, can I?
Yeah, Ray.
I understand what you would have problem with this, because I believe you voted against it. However, I think that if you question the whole notion of granting waiver by self-certification, this is something different. However, we have voted that on that, already voted on that. What I'm questioning is that people demonstrate sincere inability to do so by doing it in writing. I know individuals who are extremely intelligent, and when put in front of a test, completely freeze. In the South, people were asked to, and I'm not saying that Terry's doing the same, it just brings to mind to me that people were asked to demonstrate proficiency with the American Constitution to be able to vote. I'm talking about black people in this country. And this had nothing to do with their right to vote. And I'm saying that similarly here, once we grant them the certification, meaning that they can say themselves that they're unable to do so, to make it, this is unnecessarily difficult. What we're testing is their ability to pick up a pen and put language in a clear fashion, rather than any sincere desire.
Leslie. Yes.
To indicate that they cannot participate. New York City is one of the largest cities in this country, and there are many issues that are being resolved and maybe not resolved by elections here, and this very important complex process in New York does not require an individual to write one sentence.
Okay. Can we, Terry, can you offer some guidance here in terms of what you think
what you're going to the judge to request. My notion was trying to use what Section 4 of the bylaws says, is that the person had to genuinely have the hardship, financial hardship, and not unable to do the volunteer work. That was notion that in the policy that I drafted, that was self-certified, that there was no, they didn't have to provide documentation of income or anything like that. So I was doing the self-certification for a hardship. Then the next piece of the bylaws talks about the LSD committee had to recognize that the person, proposed member, has demonstrated a sincere interest in becoming a member. And I just thought that the bylaws wanted something more than a checkbox. But that's just it's your judgment call completely.
Okay, I'd like to suggest, at the beginning of this call, an hour and a half ago or more, the first item we took up was the waiver issue. This would have been a better time to raise this, but anyway, then that we agreed to go to the judge, that part of what we're going to judge with included, I don't remember the exact language, but something that the criteria for waiver requests were going to be determined by each of these committees locally.
Yes,
so it seems to me a logical next step that how that request for a waiver was communicated and how the waiver was granted could also be figured out by that committee locally.
Leslie, can I just jump in since I offered the
yes.
motion? it just says that the local elections committee are going to have a criteria for, are going to establish criteria for granting a waiver.
It's not an elections committee. You're mixing things up.
I'm sorry. What's the correct nomenclature for it?
The FAB waiver committee.
The waiver committee. Okay, the waiver committee is going to have criteria for that. There is currently no written. There's no written requirement that exists at this point. So why are we arguing against something that doesn't exist?
Right.
Well, I'm arguing against something that does exist as a major, as a formal proposal to resolve this question. And I'm saying that it goes against the spirit and the letter of what we voted on.
May I come in here?
Yes, come on.
I'm sorry.
And then there's one more issue, and then we're going to end this call by 9 o'clock, whether or not we're done.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Okay. Carol?
Okay. We voted as a board that waiver applicants could self-certify as to their hardship and their inability to volunteer.
Where's that?
We did not vote as a board that they could self-certify that they have a sincere interest in being a member. That's where the discretion of the waiver committee comes in. So I don't see how a waiver committee can even evaluate whether to grant a waiver or not, unless the applicant says, I have a sincere, and, you know, they don't have to put it in writing. They can have a friend write it down for them or something. But they need to be able to communicate to the waiver committee what their sincere interest in the station is. And that has to be something. It has to be, I've been a listener for 10 years, or I rely on the station in my daily life for information and I'm deeply concerned about it. Otherwise, there is absolutely nothing in this policy that would prevent a white, right-wing, white supremacist group from lining up all of their members saying, hey, you can vote and take over Pacifica. You can take over WBAI. All you have to do is send in your self-certification. That, and you can lie on it because nobody can check. It's self-certified, you know.
Well, they can lie anyway, Carol.
Yes, I know. But there's a small modicum of deference to our desire for our members to have demonstrated a support for the station and the station's principles. And being able to articulate that in some meaningful sentence to me seems like such a small thing to do. We're not electing the school board. Pacifica is something that exists for a specific purpose, and we do not want to be taken over by people who do not agree with the purposes of Pacifica. And these waivers are a loophole that would allow that to happen quite easily if somebody organized to do it. And I think it's a very minimal requirement that a proposed member seeking a waiver, ask a friend if they cannot write, to write something down saying, I'd really like to be a member and vote because WBAI is a critical part of my life. And
what about a telephone call?
Carol.
Yeah, or they could call in and somebody could transcribe it, sure.
Carol, I want you to get out a pen and paper and write down the state. You and I fully agree.
I agree also.
Okay, can we have a motion on this issue? It's the only way to move it forward. Can we have a motion on this issue?
I move that any waiver applicant may self-certify their hardship and inability to volunteer, but shall make a statement as to what their sincere interest in the station is and why they want to vote.
Okay, is that clear?
I'll second that.
Okay.
Can I ask Ray what he thinks about that? Because I can't huddle with him, so I want to know his opinion. Hello?
Ray?
I'm sorry. I think what we are testing has nothing to do with sincerity. It's got to do with somebody's ability to put some of the worst scoundrel involved in this government in Watergate or whatever could write extremely well. Many of them went to law school to learn it.
Ray, did you hear what the motion was?
Okay. I heard the motion was. I'm saying that the part of the motion that is it's addressing not sincerity but somebody's ability or inability to put two sentences together in a
conversation. No, we said it could be a telephone call, Ray.
It could be a telephone
call. She just said a statement.
a statement, that somebody makes a statement about their commitment to the station, their interest in the station, their relationship to the station.
I'm saying that it doesn't resolve anything. Why complicate? It's like they, Rob made a statement earlier.
Okay,
saying
so
that
Ray,
people, we don't want to discourage people contributing money.
Okay,
people,
so
most people contribute more than the minimum without being prodded to.
Okay, folks,
I'm
not going to open up another round of conversation.
This is the same idea, though.
Janice asked Ray what his opinion was. Ray obviously disagrees with this motion. Can we move to a vote on this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, again, Pete?
Yes.
George?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Janice?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, Janice.
What?
She wants to come back to
you? We can come back.
Come back.
Okay, Ray?
No.
Rob?
No.
AC?
No.
Teresa?
Yeah.
Charles?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And myself, yes. Janice, do you want to vote?
I'm such a chicken, but no.
No. Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, no. So I believe that carries.
Yep.
Okay.
Leslie, this is Teresa. I had one last thing.
Well, there's one. The next thing is where the votes will be counted. But I think, if I might, I think that issue was clarified in Terry's memo, that the votes are going to be counted locally in the station area, in the signal areas. Right? Terry, is that the plan?
That's absolutely my intention. I can't really imagine a scenario where we would do it centrally. But my intention is to do it at each of the stations.
Okay.
Each of the cities.
Right. Okay, so is there any controversy on that?
I do have one question.
I'm sorry, wait a second. AC, there is a controversy?
Yeah.
You don't want the voters counted locally.
Well, I think that I have a reason for saying that the mail-in should be mail from the local station.
Okay, the question is there a controversy about where the votes will be counted?
Yes.
Not mailed.
Counted.
I mean, counted in the station area, yes. I would agree with that.
So there's no
controversy. That's what we're talking about.
That's the agenda item.
I thought that we were talking about also the mail-ins.
No, I asked if there was a controversy on the question of where the votes will be counted.
No.
Okay.
I have one question, and this is Ray.
Yes.
And it's addressed at Terry. When you said it's your intention, meaning that it will be made real, or this is you make the best effort?
The only thing that I can say is that it could conceivably occur that at some station, the local election supervisor is trying to round up enough volunteers to do the count, and as we're getting close to the date, I can't find enough people. We just don't have the ability to do it. That I'm not going to say that we won't count the votes because we don't have the volunteers in a particular location. I don't think that's likely to happen anywhere, but we don't have the volunteers lined up, so I don't want to say categorically it could not happen. I just don't foresee how we would not get enough volunteers, but I don't have them lined up yet.
Okay.
And, Terry, I have one question. The counting of this by volunteers, there's no cost for that, right?
Well, there will be some cost, obviously. We're going to have to have a space, a secure place to store the ballots. We're going to have computers. The question of whether we can have loan computers or have to rent computers, because we have to have them locked up. People aren't going to be able to take their laptops home with them with data on them and so on.
Why do we need computers to count the votes?
Because of
the way we're voting.
Utilizing for the single transferable vote.
Oh, you mean just to do the counts? People are not voting by computer.
No, correct.
To count them,
absolutely.
to figure out
who's next and all that stuff.
Okay.
May I make a? I just want to provide some information here.
Well, it's 10 to 9.
Yeah, I know, but I think this is valuable information that we found out early on at PFW area when we first started talking about this.
All right, I'm going to give you
I think everybody would agree that the League of Women Voters in Washington, D.C. agreed to count the ballots. We gave, not just me, We gave that information to Ron Pinchback to follow up with a phone call with them to ask about the details of that. And they indicated that they have chapters in other cities and places who could count the ballots for us with an an observer team there with it. To monitor.
Excellent. Okay.
So I just wanted to say that should be considered.
What's wrong with that, Terry?
I'm a member of the board of directors of Legalmen Voters in Vermont. They take men. And, yes, many leagues do that, and they charge a fee for it. It's one of the ways their fundraising mechanisms is doing election counts for organizations. I have actually had contact with the members of Legalmen Voters in Washington, D.C. A couple months ago about this possibility. Actually see if they can look for a local election supervisor. That would be sort of a last gasp if we can't get enough volunteers from the station membership itself. But there would be a charge. It would be a substantial charge for them to
It wouldn't be a substantial charge because she was talking about four people. Doing the count, taking one day to do the count.
$35 an hour, though.
I know she charged by the hour, but that's a lot.
Okay, folks, can we please, without discussion, can we unanimously recommit ourselves to do everything as cheaply as possible?
Yeah,
I mean, really.
We do not need to pay anybody to count these votes.
Right. Let us find the volunteers.
I wouldn't say that, Janice.
Okay.
No, we
move on.
You have to be thinking about that.
Teresa?
Leslie.
Teresa.
When I look at, in September, we voted as an IPNB that we should have a diverse committee to oversee the work of the elections committee. In the bylaws, Section B...
Are you talking on the local level?
Under local election supervisors, it says that the election supervisor, he or she, in the conduct or oversight of the election, each local election supervisor may appoint a committee of volunteer members, all of which volunteer members, the local election supervisor must, in good faith and according to their discretion, believed to be neutral individuals, and that committee shall consist. The point is, we're getting this committee together to oversee the elections committee, which is a lab committee, and our election supervisor says, but your pool of people for that committee is conflicting with the committee that I'm to have, according to the bylaws.
He's right. Let me clarify. In September, there was anxiety that the local election supervisors and their committees might make mistakes or they might do things that are controversial, and the labs, if they wanted to, could form committees to complain about them or to see if they're doing things right. And that would be a completely separate committee from anything that the local election supervisor is supervising. What those lab committees would do in the event that they objected to the neutrality or some action of the local election supervisor's elections committee, I suppose, would be to raise the issue to the board of directors. But that committee is not to oversee the elections. The elections are under the oversight of the election supervisors, and this is a separate committee that would be satisfying themselves that the election supervisors and their committee were doing a good job.
Leslie?
I guess
Carol, I need to speak to you about it. Maybe the other areas don't have these committees, but seems like we've got an extra committee.
Well, you can read the motion. It was very clear. It was a separate committee that would be watching the elections committee.
Right.
Leslie?
Yeah, Ray and
I had made the motion. I had introduced the motion for the committee, and the idea was that it would be a balanced committee, would have access to activities of the committee and connected to the local election coordinator. It was not to oversee in the sense of having decision-making power.
Right, exactly.
But it was to make sure that everything went properly, and it was to be set up by the lab and to include all the different different positions within the area.
Right.
Okay, that's consistent then.
Okay.
Okay.
So what's the problem, Leslie?
I don't hear a problem. So, AC, did you want to say something?
No.
Fine. Okay, so I don't believe there is a problem. If somebody is still not clear, then is anybody not clear? Let me put it that way.
Well, I'm perfectly clear. As usual.
Well, the only problem that I would raise...
That's what you think.
The only problem that I would raise, Leslie, would be the fact that that committee is not some lame committee out there. I mean, it does have... The local election committee seems to me have a responsibility. How can they monitor the elections, monitor the process of the election without having the authority to do so? And I think we gave them in the resolution of the, well, they must have power because we agreed that they could appeal the case to the to Terry,
right? But anybody
or Dan, for that matter, the buck stops at the board,
right?
So they do have that, and D.C. has already established such a committee.
AC, the point of the matter is, as I understand it, we have a very active local advisory board elections committee. We're now forming.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
we are now forming an oversight committee, and the elections supervisor could also form a committee for the conduct and oversight of the election.
Well, I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying that I don't
want... He's just a little confused.
Let's try and minimize confusion and let's get these elections happening, which means, I don't know about any place else, but let's kick into high gear the search for candidates and let's worry a little bit... That's my own editorializing now. Let's worry a little bit less about how many committees we have and get the candidate pool up. That's where the elections happen. It's because people are running. So that's where I think the real energy needs to go.
I would agree with you. I just wanted to say that I think also there ought to be some oversight by Dan and others on the election process as it moves along. Because
Dan and Terry are the people mandated by our bylaws to have that final oversight.
Okay.
All right.
Can I do one last thing?
Okay, and then we're done.
Well, actually, it's two parts.
One
is, in terms of the supervision of the election, it is a little bit like doing brain surgery with a mask on and boxing gloves, because I can generate policies and procedures, but none of the elected supervisors, myself or the local ones, have any authority to order staff to do anything. That's very clear. And for
example, where Dan comes in.
Right,
Dan has that
authority. So the issue is, for example, the websites... only KPFT has the current candidate nomination packages, although they've been available since October. They still have
the deadline
saying it's November 15th for candidate nominations on most of the websites. And the frustration is very intense about getting the information out and so on. But there's one last thing.
I'm sorry, before you move off of that, Dan?
Yeah?
Can you tonight send an email and then make sure that somebody follows up with a phone call tomorrow to each of the station managers that by noon tomorrow the website information be correct? And the sooner it would be better, even sooner than that. There's no reason why it couldn't be corrected tonight, but let's be a little generous. By noon tomorrow, in whatever time zone they're in, that the websites at each station have to have the correct and up-to-date election information.
Yeah. Leslie, this is where, you know what,
Dan,
Dan,
can you do that?
Oh.
Yeah, I will. I'm just writing it down right now, and
great,
I'll send it out.
Thank you.
And what they have done instead of changing the document itself is that, I looked at a few of them yesterday, is that when you look at the desktop, they announced that the date has extended to the 21st. You know what I'm saying? But they haven't changed the documents themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there has to be the full documents. Everything needs to be correct.
I agree.
Okay.
And the last
Terry,
thing I wanted
yes.
to say, which I gather you're not going to get to tonight, but there was an issue about what was the definition of a member contributing $25 when there's an offer of a scholarship, like somebody who will match.
Oh, right.
Like BAI, there's an issue of someone offering a grant that people could put in $12 towards a membership. That person would match $13 to give them a voting membership. And some people are saying that's great. Other people are saying, wait, that doesn't fit the bylaws. I don't want to wade in there at all.
Right.
But I'm just saying that that's another issue, like the waiver issue, like the EFT issue, that I think the board or in the absence of the board, the executive director, needs to make a ruling so that the data entry people know what to do.
Right.
can you make a ruling on that?
Huh?
Dan, can you make a ruling on that?
Sorry, could you repeat the what's the issue?
The issue is, when is it acceptable in the definition of the bylaws of membership when it says that somebody is eligible when they have contributed $25? The question is, can that be created through a scholarship, for example? If someone says, I'm going to put in $5, if somebody else puts in $20, and together that constitutes a membership for one of those people. In other words,
subsidies.
What is...
Yeah, my immediate reaction is
ah!
Yeah, at some point the process becomes overburdensome.
Right. And has somebody, you said that happened at WBAI?
I secondhand information is that there have been ads on the station that particularly a prison population, the first 100 prisoners who would put in $12 towards a membership would have their $12 matched by a $13 grant provided by an individual. So that prisoner would become a member at the $25 level and be allowed to vote.
This is ridiculous. Well, Dan, can you make a ruling on this?
I would say that is overburdensome for us to track. There's no possible way that the election staff, national office staff, station staff can track that kind of information, and therefore it's impossible to.
Our feeling is if somebody wants to make 25 people prisoners members, they'll just have to pledge $250. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, that's
in
not allowed.
In one particular case, somebody has pledged $1,300 to allow subsidy for up to 100 people.
Say that again?
In the scenario that was relayed to me is one individual or organization pledged $1,300.
That did happen.
It has been announced supposedly on the air.
That happened, yes.
And so then presumably members, prospective members, listeners, presumably have been sending in $12 to the station expecting to have that matched and to have voting rights.
Yes.
Oh, good grief.
And I didn't know that part. I thought they had just sent in enough for X number as gift members.
Gift memberships and or scholarships and or subsidies. I don't want to make a decision on that. It's not my area.
This is Dave. I got to say, this is really outrageous. If I donate $1,000... and I say I want this for certain people to be members, you know, that doesn't make any sense. People should be voluntarily, volitionally, expressly saying, I want to be a member. I can't buy a membership for Joe Smith, you know, and say, here, let Joe Smith be a member.
We've had gift memberships as long as I've been there.
Yeah, but we haven't had memberships before.
So now we can't have gift memberships? Well, that's something we were going to...
Membership's a whole different game now. Now you're actually a member of a corporation, an organization with... You know, with significance to the membership. It's not just buying them the right to get the folio every quarter.
So now when I say I want to be a member and I'm going to buy my daughter Bridget a membership, I can't do that.
Well, if you look at the bylaws, we talked about this. We said that a joint...
This sounds like this is too complicated to start up now. I'm getting off the phone.
Why don't you just listen to the answer, though?
Okay.
All right. We talked about this when we developed the bylaws. We said about what about husband and wife or domestic partners? Can they jointly contribute $50 or more and be two members? We said yes, but nothing beyond that. I cannot write a check for $100,000 and send them the membership list of the Christian Coalition of Sonoma County and say, this is to buy memberships for these people. Our members have to contribute the money themselves.
Or the volunteer time, or they get a waiver.
If you can do it
for a waiver.
If you can do it for partners, you ought to be able to do it for mother-daughter, if that's what Janet is talking
about. A joint contribution. No, I know
I have taken pledges over the years where people say, I'm a member and I love it so much and I want to... In fact, that's going to be something... This is really crucial here in New York, because that was going to be something we were going to use in this campaign. Is one thing you can do is get a gift membership for a relative, because people were saying this would be one way
to expand membership.
Then it has
joint
to be
membership.
A joint membership.
No, they were saying gift. I'm telling you specifically, but that's something people have said they're going to do.
I know, but they
so
could
they're
be,
saying we can't do that.
Right, they could be told, don't do it that way. Do it as a joint membership.
What do you mean, do it as a joint membership?
Janice, Kate Bryant, and her daughter are jointly members.
Oh, okay.
Instead of you're giving a gift of the membership to your daughter,
this has been a way to make more money.
Well, that's the same way. I mean, just you just calling it differently, and it means something different.
Right. I mean, we have to be very careful.
I don't know about anybody else, but it's...
I'm tired. Yeah, I have to go as well.
Yeah. Okay. So if we could wrap this up, we meet again in 1 week to review the budget. Stan, can you just tell us if the material has gone out yet, or...
It's going out tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just
you.
Be clear
okay.
that you're authorizing Dan to create a policy
yes.
about scholarships?
Yes.
Or the lack thereof. Okay.
Right. I think he just did. He said it's impossible.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
Bye.
You all.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Good night.
Leslie, thank you for your great sharing, and thank you, KPFTX, for your broadcasting.
Yes, thank you, Lee, and everybody else. All right, thanks. Bye. Bye.